Come on. I've said this before, right? It's a good thing I'm not God. You know, and really, because I let everybody in. You know, in my heart, I just have a hard time with people spending eternity separated from God in the place of, in my mind, I just have a hard time rationalizing that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just somebody that's going to suffer forever and ever and ever and ever. And then when that's through, forever and ever and ever. Never stops.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1.
There's an illustration that I have in the book, and it goes like this. How does a person go to heaven? 100 points. A man dies and goes to heaven. Of course, St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. St. Peter said, here's how it works. You need 100 points to get into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each one of them, depending on how good it is. Now, I know some of y'all getting a little nervous. Just settle down, right? When you reach 100 points, you'll get in. Okay, the man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, even in my heart. That's wonderful, said St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points, he says. Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministries with my tithe and service. Terrific, said St. Peter. That's worth 1 point. 1 point? Well, I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic. That's worth 2 more points, he said. 2 points, the man cries. At this rate, the only way to get into heaven is by the grace of God. Peter smiled. There goes your 100 points. There goes your 100 points. How do you get in? You can't get in on your own merits. You couldn't do enough to get in. There's only one way you can get in, and that's through the grace of God, through his son, Jesus Christ, who is his Lord and Savior. I thought about this. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul said that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow. Wow. That what you go through now will enhance, I believe, I could be wrong. I'm not going to go down fighting on this one, but I believe that the more you love God down here and the more you go through God down here, the more you're going to appreciate heaven. You know, I think that you're going to appreciate it. You know, the fact is that it's going to be a blessing for all of us to be there. So I'm saying that. Just to be in heaven, it's going to be a blessing beyond compare. But I would have to believe that maybe somebody who was martyred, we think that, we're suffering martyrdom, when we get a little hangnail, oh my goodness, and people are losing their lives, right? And I we live in this society, I remember the song, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the lamb? Must I be carried through the sky on flowery bed of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail through rolly seas, right? And so there are people here that are suffering a lot more than what we are. And they're getting in. You're getting in. You're going to be happy that you're in. You're going to rejoice that you're in. But I'm just wondering if somebody who went through that time of suffering would just appreciate being there a little bit more. And so He says that for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Let me share with you three things about this passage right here. Three things. On earth, our afflictions are light. In heaven. You know the word where it says, worketh for us eternal weight. You know what that term weight was used for? To measure gold. Gold weight. Why? Because gold was heavy. And so our afflictions on earth, our afflictions are light. In heaven, they have weight, heavy like gold objects, going for the gold. That when I go through suffering here, and I have this time where I'm going through affliction, that I've suffered a physical illness, I've suffered a financial problem, I've suffered some kind of problem, and I go through this time of suffering here, it might seem like forever that I'm going through this. Oh God, when are you going to take me out? And then I step off of this earth and I step into glory and I look back and I say, that was just a light. That was just a light affliction. You can't say it now because you're in it. You're feeling it. You're dealing with it. But one day you're going to look back and see that that was a light affliction. Remember some of the problems that you faced in the past? Think about problems that you faced last year, a couple of years ago, 5 years, 10 years ago, and that you've come through, and they're not even a problem. What are they right now? They are just a memory. They're just a memory. But when I get to gold, when I get to the golden city, those afflictions are going to be like gold. They're going to be heavy. They're going to be weighty. They're going to mean something in eternity. Look at the next thing that I want to say is, on earth, our afflictions are but for a moment. In heaven, they bring eternal worth. That what you're going through right now is only for a moment. But in heaven, that these, you know what, the Revelation, I'm not calling the reverse right now. Some of y'all probably know it by heart. But it says in heaven that your works will follow you. Your works will follow you. That whatever suffering you went through in this life, it's going to follow you. But it's not going to follow you to haunt you. It's going to follow you to bless you. That throughout eternity, you will be able to reflect on the fact that what you went through brought eternal worth and glory. And then the third thing is, on earth, our afflictions bring pain and suffering. In heaven, they are splendorous and magnificent. Glory. They are an eternal weight of glory. Somebody put it like this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And then let me finish with this. Activities in heaven. See, people say, oh, I don't want to go to heaven. Heaven is going to be boring. No. Heaven is going to be anything but boring. It's going to be anything but boring. Yeah. First of all, and you know this, in Revelation 5, we're going to worship in heaven. You know, just think of the greatest moment of worship that you've ever experienced. You know, for some, it may have been loud praise, standing up, shouting. And for others, it may have just been a quietly bowing the head and just coming into the presence of God. When we worship in heaven, you know, sometimes, Pastor Glaze has a confession to make. You know, Sometimes, I probably shouldn't say this, but you know, sometimes I come on Sunday, and this is just only a pastor would do this. I know y'all don't do this, but only a pastor would do it. And that is, you know, sometimes I'm worshiping, and then I'll be thinking about, okay, hopefully everything is going to be in order, right? Hopefully stuff is going to be working, right? That, you know, oh, you know what? I need to make this announcement today. You know, so-and-so said such a thing, and in heaven. Well, let me take it off of Pastor Glaze, right? Let me take it off of Pastor. Let me put it on y'all. Why they got to stand up when they praise and worship? They blocking my view. I'm going to stop there. I could go on. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to get in trouble. I'm stopping there. I'm stopping there. There you go. So, just think, in heaven, there's not going to be any of that. It's going to be pure worship. It's going to be totally focused on God. You know, we're not going to be thinking about going to the fortune star after church today. I told somebody, man, that Fortune Star is the Bethany extension after church. The Bethany cafeteria, right? No, Pastor, you shouldn't go there. I know you're not going there, Pastor. The Steelers play at 1 o'clock today. They play the Ravens. You know, the Steelers are 7-2. The Ravens are 7-3. You know, man, why this game they should have put on later on during the day, right? Hey, see, look. I mean, just think in heaven, man, this it's going to be undivided worship as we worship the Lord. Serving. You know, just think of the greatest job that you've ever had. And say I know some people don't enjoy their jobs. I understand that. But the greatest job. I love what I do. Man, I love preaching. I love teaching. And it gives me a sense of fulfillment. You know, to preach and to see God work in somebody's heart, to see God move in a special way, you know, I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for using me. And so when we get to heaven, we're going to serve. Now, there's things that we're going to do to serve God. We're going to serve one another. You know, we're going to be able to commit acts of service. And, man, we will get so much joy out of serving God when we get to the eternal city. Learning. Micah talks about that. That, you know, the song said, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, what does that mean? That he's going to teach us. That we're going to learn things. You know, one of the things I believe that's going to happen in heaven is that when something bad happened that made no sense to us, you know, and there's a lot of, sometimes, you know, the worst thing that we can try to do is try to explain to a person why they're going through what they're going through, right? Because we don't know. Only God knows. But I believe in eternity, God is just going to pull us aside and let us have those teaching times where he said, see, this is why this happened in your life. You know, you didn't understand it at the time. You know, you wanted to get out of it. You know, you got angry, you got upset. But look, here's why you went through it. A time of teaching. A time of God asking, answering all of our questions. You know, I come on a show called Hard Questions. I answer questions for a website, gotquestions.org. I come on a Christian television station out of Ohio, where I come on a program called Ask the Pastor. And it's amazing, man. People got all kinds of questions. The questions that people have, because there's a lot of foolishness out here in the world that people are accepting, that people are seeing, that people are, well, where did you hear that at? I heard it on the internet. Well, how do you know that it's true? Because it was on the internet. No. No, people have questions. And when we get to heaven, God is going to answer our questions. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, we will enjoy God's creation. My goodness. I haven't been to a lot of places, but I've been to Hawaii. The Lord has blessed me to go there. I've been to Israel. I've been to Africa. And you know what? Going to those places, man, sometimes you just stand there and you just enjoy the creation. You know how fulfilling that is? You know, sometimes let's go take a walk and let's enjoy God's creation. And then you'll see God's creation. Like to go to Hawaii. Oh my goodness, we went to some beautiful places in Hawaii. And all you wanted to do when you went to these places is just, wow, man, that's breathtaking. Wow, that's beautiful. And you just think of how much joy you got out of doing that. And in heaven, we're going to enjoy God's creation. We're going to enjoy the things that he has set before us. Heaven is going to be, you know, let me ask you a question. If heaven is going to be so boring, then what's one reason you go on vacation? You go on vacation to a lot, and why do people pick certain spots? So that they can enjoy their vacation. They can enjoy the view. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have a view unlike any other. Heaven is going to be anything but boring. With fellowship, we're going to fellowship. You know, I've told y'all this before. I know you're getting tired of hearing me say it, but let me just say it again. You know, I love getting together with my brothers. Love it. Because, man, we just have a great time of fellowship. Like I told y'all, man, sometimes we tell the same stories over and over again. Right? But we laugh and we have a good time and it's just enjoyable. That's what heaven is going to be like. Man, we're going to fellowship with Jesus, right? And just have a great time with him. Then we're going to fellowship. Can you imagine? You know, one of the things that, and I'm getting ready to land this plane. I'm getting ready to land the plane. You know, we're about 30 miles from the Pittsburgh airport. And I'm getting ready. I see the runway. All right. I know what time. No. You know, one of the things that I think about, like, if I had relatives during slavery times, right, that knew the Lord, and they were praying for future generations, right? They were praying. I know me and my wife, we pray for future generations in our family, right? And when I get there, to get to know who they are, and say, man, I appreciate your prayers. And you know, and this is Pastor Glaze, right? So don't think I'm getting the big head. Don't think I'm getting the big head. But just for them to say, man, son, we so proud of you. Man, you let God use you. And for my ancestors that prayed for me to say that, man, I mean, again, the number one, we want to hear God say, well done. You know, I mean, that we do want to hear God. I mean, that he's number one. Because if any, whatever else anybody else says, don't, you know, it's going to pale in comparison to him. But, sometimes I think about that. You know, just to be able to fellowship with my ancestors that I don't know. You know, and in the book, you know, I talk about, will we be able to recognize our ancestors in heaven? You know, how will we recognize our ancestors in heaven? But fellowship, man, just think of the fellowship, of the good times that's not boring. You know, when you get together and you have a good time, you know, you get together with family and sometimes we play games and, you know, we laugh and it's just, man, it's great to be together. And just think there's going to be times like that in heaven when we're going to be together, fellowshipping. Heaven is going to be anything but boring. Oh, I like this one right here. Eating and drinking. You know, you'll be able to drink all the Baja Blasts without any calories in them, without any sugar, right? You'll be able to eat them donuts. I don't know, God. I don't know if he's going. I don't know if he's going to have Baja Blast and donuts in heaven. I don't know that. But one thing I do know, whatever we eat and drink is going to be totally healthy. Right? You know, God, man. So, again, as you can see, man, I like to eat. Yeah. But the eating down here, man, you know, it's not going to compare to dining in heaven and eating in heaven. Man, you know, you take a boy. What's your favorite food? What's your favorite food? Just think about that. What's your favorite food, right? And just think about that. Just think about taking a bite of your favorite food, right? How good it tastes, right? When we get to heaven, whatever we eat in heaven, I know it talks about the tree, fruit from the tree of life, but just think when you bite into it, it's not going to taste anything like the food we eat down here. It's going to be so scrumptious and delicious that you are going to enjoy. When I say, when Jesus says, come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitude and turned the water into wine. When he says, come and dine, it's going to be the most delicious, scrumptious, delightful food that you ever tasted in your life. Earth can't touch that. And then I'm going to close with this right here. All right. There are things beyond our comprehension that we don't even know. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. My goodness. Man, God got stuff for us to do that is beyond comprehension. You know, I think of that song, right? Night Shift, you know, talks about all these singers that have died and that they're somewhere in heaven playing in a great band. Well, you know, I just have one problem with the song. And the song is, do we know that they accepted Christ and are in heaven? You know, so that's my big problem with the song. But let me take away the concept of the song. And the concept of the song is that, you know, whatever, whatever you enjoyed, now I'm not saying anything that was illegal or immoral, okay? I'm not talking about that. I believe anything that you enjoyed here, that God will allow you to enjoy it in eternity. Don't necessarily have a scripture for that. I'm just including it in the one where it says that he's prepared things for us that are beyond our comprehension. Right? So in my mind, I think that there may be things that we enjoy that God will allow us to do. And man, I'm going for gold, saints. I'm going for gold. I'm going for that golden city. And this is the last thing that I want to say as the plane lands. Things done in heaven will be to the ultimate extreme. Notice what Psalm 16, verse 11 says. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 2. From our series, Going for the Gold. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1, you can contact us at InkurtandJesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1. That's InkurtandJesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Going for the Gold, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your finance at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.